You're listening to Bible Prophecy Daily, a weekday podcast where Bible prophecy matters and matters greatly.
Hey, this is Marquis Laughlin, and I'm your host for this edition of the Bible Prophecy Daily Podcast. We are in the middle of the director's commentary, a different take on commentaries for Revelation. And I'm at chapter 8. If you have not been following this, I'd advise you to go back and get that context we need to kind of get into chapter 8. What's amazing about chapter 8 of Revelation, and what I'm going to try to bring out, is it really is a very pivotal chapter in the book of Revelation, because this is the breaking of the seventh seal, which means the scroll, which was such a big deal earlier, is finally unrolled, and we can read the contents. And I don't think there's enough emphasis on that. It's one of those big picture things that's usually just kind of skimmed over. Oh, yeah, by the way. But this is a huge event. Remember, John, earlier, the Apostle John was crying because no one was found who could open the scroll, because he knew what it meant. He knew what the scroll contained and what it meant, the redemption of the whole world, the ownership of the world being given back to Christ and taken away from the evil one. So you have basically the title deed of the earth. The future of all believers is tied up into this. It's really the inheritance of the saints, literally, that John was crying over. So it's a big deal. And all of Revelation has been building up to this particular moment so far. So let me read chapter 8 of Revelation. Then I'm going to go back and kind of dissect it a little bit. We're going to look at the timing, the nature, and the length of God's wrath, how we know it's God's wrath, and the effect that God's wrath has on the book's key characters. I'm trying to give us a perspective from the author, the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the author of this story. He's the creator of all things, including history and prophecy that has not been fulfilled. It's already pre-written, and Jesus has designed it. He's the author and finisher of our faith. And so we're reading a story, literally, that Jesus has written, that he's in, that we're in. One of my favorite things I like to say about the book of Revelation, having performed it now over 25 years, probably close to 700 times in front of people, is that it's the only book ever written that has everyone's future in it. We are all on at least one of the pages of Revelation, and we can take that to the bank. We are in this particular story that you're hearing, and that's what's fascinating. We just have to find where we are, or where, what page we may choose to be on. But this includes the history, and what will be the history, but the future of everyone in the world, and everyone who's ever lived, actually. Everyone is on at least one of the pages of this book. So hopefully you can get by my allergies. It's that time of the year, spring, and I am really in the sneezing, coughing, runny nose, itchy nose stage. I do about 2 weeks of that, then I come out of it. But let's read chapter 8 to kick this off. First of all, I'm going to give you the context of chapter 8 really quickly. Remember, Revelation's been introduced. John said every eye will see Jesus when he comes back. Then he sees the risen Christ standing among seven lampstands. We find out that he is in all of his glory, as John describes him, as we'll actually see later on, a very similar figure in chapter 10 of Revelation. But Jesus is there. He gives him this message to give to the churches. and we read the letters to each of the individual churches. One of the things I pointed out that I think is often overlooked in most commentaries, or at least I don't know one commentary that has actually suggested this. I know there are a handful of teachers who have delved into it and revealed more of it to me, but the context of those letters is Daniel's 70th week, the 7-year period just prior to the return of Jesus. All of those letters have indications that Jesus is coming soon. He's going to take their crown literally away if they do not do what he is recommending. He's going to remove their lampstand. He's going to put them through a time of trial and testing that's going to come upon the whole world. That's a unique time frame. There are all kinds of references to that can only be true, by the way, of ultimately true of the generation of believers that is experiencing Daniel's 70th week. So the ultimate context of Revelation is just what it says it is at the beginning. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is about the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is about the time when he's revealed to the whole world. So we're talking about a very specific time frame. And I think that's important. It's a big, obvious thing, but it's critical for you to have that context going into this. And of course, then John is, after the letters in chapter 4, John is caught up to heaven and he's shown a throne in heaven. He's shown the same scene that Daniel sees back in the book of Daniel in the Old Testament. Exact same scene. Remember, Daniel says thrones were set in place, and I saw the Ancient of Days take his seat, and he is seeing the same scene. And then who comes? The Son of Man comes, and he is given authority. He's given a scroll over the nations. Pretty amazing scene, but it's the same scene that John sees here. And of course, all heaven fall down and worship him. And then he begins to open the scroll that he's given him. So because we have that context, the same context the readers of John had, because they would have been reminded of this scene in Daniel, we have the context for the opening of the seals and the fact that the seals are all, the scrolls of that time were all sealed on the outside. So the 7 seals would have been open on the outside, and you would have had to break all of them in order to open the scroll and begin reading it. So the contents wouldn't be available unless the scroll, all of the seals on the scrolls were broken. Only then could it be unrolled and read. And that's critical too, because some people try to make the seals God's judgment. And it's what's in the scroll. That's God's judgment. It's not the seals that are breaking to open the scroll. No. So that's where we are. And we have looked at the first 6 seals, culminating with the 5th seal, the martyrdom of obviously the souls of the martyrs begging God not to to pour out his wrath. The 5th seal, we see martyrs, the souls of martyrs, under the throne of God, and they're saying, how long until you judge the inhabitants of the earth? Which is, these are eyewitnesses to what's going on, and they are saying that at the 5th seal, God has not poured out his judgment on the earth, and they're not happy about that. They're pleading with him, and he says to wait a little longer until the full number of their fellow servants and brothers who were to be killed as they had been completed. So there's proof that God's judgment hasn't come, because the number of martyred saints has not been fulfilled. God has a number, a limit. They have to faithfully endure. So I think this is critical, because these are saints, so we know they're telling the truth. They're the souls of saints, and they're begging God to bring justice, to avenge their blood and judge the earth. And so that means he has not. Another witness, obviously, is the entire world. The 6th seal is where God reveals himself. This is what Revelation is all about. The 6th seal, that is Jesus coming on the clouds with the Father, and all everyone seeing him, the dead and the live people, everybody sees him, every eye sees him. And that is the second coming of Jesus. That is the day of the Lord event that is preceded by signs in the heavens. The sun turns black, the moon turns black, the sun turns blood red, and the stars fall from the sky to the earth. And then there's a great earthquake, and then that's when the sky rolls up like a scroll, and then we see the brightness, the Shekinah glory of Jesus and the Father as they come in the clouds. So that is huge, but the response is even more telling, because the response is the men of the earth, the kings, the princes, the generals, the rich, the mighty, they hide in caves and among the rocks of the mountains. And we have some of people are preparing to do that right now, because they are assuming there will be some sort of war where they can actually hide in bunkers in caves. So people are doing that right now. But they will run to those and they'll say, "Hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, because the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand?" Now, this is another eyewitness to Jesus coming, just like he said he is. The Son of Man is going to come in the clouds of heaven. Everybody's going to see him. And what do they do? Instead of looking up and knowing that their salvation is drawing near, they are those who shrink back and run away and are afraid. And their very words really testify to the timing of God's wrath. They're saying, "Now we're going to get it, because here they are." And note that everybody knows it's Jesus and the Father. There's a common knowledge. "Now, who are these guys?" No, all of a sudden they have clarity and they know they're going to get it, because they have been persecuting the saints of God. So that is a pretty heavy thing, but they know they haven't gotten it yet. They haven't gotten God's judgment, but they're about to get it right now. So that tells us the timing of God's wrath. So you have the martyred souls of saints under the throne testifying, eyewitnesses. You have the eyewitnesses of the people of the earth. And now you have in chapter 7 of Revelation, the eyewitnesses and the testimony of angels. You have four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds of the earth to prevent any wind from blowing on the land or on the sea or on the trees. Why? Why are they, it seems like they're calming things down. Well, no, they're not really calming things down. Things just have not whirled up yet. Think about this. God's wrath, the angels are bringing judgment. Here, they're shown bringing calm. And while they're calm, another angel comes up with a seal and says, "We've got a seal, the servants of our God on their foreheads." Why would they seal 144,000 from all the tribes of Israel? Why would they seal them? Because they're about to bring God's judgment on the earth. And they're sealing them before God's judgment begins. So there again, that's your third eyewitness and their testimony proving that God's judgment has not begun at this point. So then in chapter 8, I'll read chapter 8 and then we'll go over it. That's where we are. This has just happened. God has just raptured and resurrected and raptured the church. He has just sealed 144,000. And now chapter 8 picks up here. It says, "When the Lamb opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. Then I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and seven trumpets were given to them." Now, this is interesting because, remember, there's silence in heaven for about half an hour. Why? I believe because the scroll is being read. It's obviously finally open, so now it can be read. That would be a common understanding of John's audience. They would know, yeah, you got the scroll open. Check it out. What's inside? You know, we have to know. That's going to determine what happens next. And the half hour of silence, any time you see silence in the Bible, usually it precedes some serious stuff coming from God. So that's just a tendency. That's another tendency the scriptures have. Here, it says in verse 2, it says, "Then I saw..." No, it says in verse 3, "And another angel came and stood at the altar with a golden censer. And he was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints rose before God from the hand of the angel. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it on the earth. And there were peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake." It's interesting, this description is the angel is going to the altar. Remember, we had where we saw in the fifth seal, the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony were under the altar. And they were crying out. And he's taking literally their prayers and he's presenting them to God. Pretty heavy stuff. So we know they're going to get answered. That's what I'm getting at. So that's kind of a big picture thing that can often be overlooked too. He is assuring that their prayers are about to get answered. That's what we're being told. So then it says in verse 6, it says, "Now the seven angels who have the seven trumpets prepared to blow them. The first angel blew his trumpet, and there followed hail and fire mixed with blood, and these were thrown upon the earth. And a third of the earth was burned up, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all green grass was burned up. The second angel blew his trumpet, and something like a huge mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea. And a third of the sea became blood. A third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. The third angel blew his trumpet, and a great star fell from heaven, blazing like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters became wormwood, and many people died from the waters because it had been made bitter. The fourth angel blew his trumpet, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of their light might be darkened, and a third of the day might be kept from shining, and likewise a third of the night. Then I looked, and I heard an eagle crying with a loud voice as it flew directly overhead, 'Woe, woe, woe to those who dwell on the earth, at the blasts of the other trumpets that the three angels are about to blow.'" Wow. So that's chapter 8 of Revelation. If you notice there, there is a repeat right there. The fourth angel kind of repeats what happened in the sixth seal. The day of the Lord sign, the sun turning black and the moon turning dark and the stars falling or not shining. That darkness is kind of repeated. So it's like, what else is going to happen? You know, so it's almost like this is round two of intensity, and this is really bad. And all of these, the first three seals are really, they're really kind of on the ground. You get the earth's burned up, you get water bitter, you get the sea turning into blood. They're really destructive on the earth. And then in the heavens, and then on the three woes are really going to be primarily focused on people, individuals. The earth isn't going to be so judged so much, but the people are going to be judged. And that is a very great distinction, because this is the call. This is what the saints were calling for. Judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood. Now it's about to happen here. They are literally about to get judged. So that is what chapter 9 is all about, those three woes, and that is what we're going to get into in the next episode, chapter 9 of the director's commentary on Revelation. Hey, thanks for listening today, and I can't encourage you to stay engaged and keep learning and trying to understand. We all are seeing not as clearly as we'd like to now, but as we get closer, we are all noticing that things are becoming clearer and more obvious, and we're incorporating more and more scriptures into our understanding of what the Lord is going to do, and He is revealing more and more so that we can be equipped and ready and prepared to give an answer to those who have questions. Speaking of prepared, If you want to email me, I would be glad to try to answer your questions. Any questions you might have on this or the end times, you can email me at Marquis, M-A-R-Q-U-I-S, at actsoftheword.com. And I will gladly try to get back to you with an answer. I know how challenging some questions can be, especially those you cannot find in a commentary. So that's what this is all about. We are doing it. So until next time, hey, come Lord Jesus. God bless you, and may you be encouraged as you seek to know and grow in the Lord.
Thanks for listening to Bible Prophecy Daily. We hope you learned something valuable today. Be sure to subscribe wherever you heard this podcast so you never miss an episode.